Sometimes it's helpful when you're reading the words of God, and especially some of the parables from Jesus, you do have to kind of put yourself inside of the parable and inside of the group of people that Jesus is speaking to. And especially with the parable of the minas, and to be truthful, I think how Jesus speaks about what's at stake. It struck me, confessing the Nicene Creed, right? We believe that Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom has no end. We recite that every other weekend over and over again. And that truth has a lot of consequences for people. And so when you read these words of Jesus, you really got to kind of just see what's going on there and put yourself into the people, because I think the more I read this parable, I think the misconceptions about the kingdom of God are ours too. And I think the people sitting there listening to Jesus are the same people that sit in church, and that's you and me. And you might not catch that when you start reading this parable, because it maybe doesn't stick out to you. But those opening words, while they were listening to this, what they were listening to was Jesus in this discourse back and forth with Zacchaeus. Right? It was that tax collector, that social outcast, that Jewish person that everybody hated, and he was not a good man. He was a cheat. He took from people knowingly, profited himself. And then when Jesus came into his home, Zacchaeus trusted and believed him, and you heard him say, "I will give to the poor half of what I own, and I'll pay back four times the amount I took from people." And Jesus shows this man's faith for being great. Jesus is speaking these words, and he's near Jerusalem, and it's not just a little proximity thing that Luke gives to us, but it's telling us what's going to happen, because Luke 19, at the end of this parable, Luke 20 is Palm Sunday, and Jesus is very close to being crowned king on Palm Sunday, and a few short days being crucified. And then there was this misconception now, too. And Jesus knew that. So all of these people from all different walks of life, people that knew Jesus and were Jewish, especially they had this idea of like kind of Jewish nationalism. And the more Jesus' popularity grew and the more he was around them, the more they thought, finally, someone is going to make our life better. We've been waiting for this. And that's not what's going to happen. And I think what Jesus realizes, too, is everything is going to change. In a very short time, all of these people's lives are going to be turned upside down by the events of Good Friday and Easter Sunday, and then he is going to be gone. He's going up into heaven, and they're going to be like, what are we supposed to do? Everything we thought didn't happen. And so Jesus has all of these little stories of instruction, but especially this one today helps us ask and answer the question, what am I supposed to do in view of Christ's return? And so when Jesus tells us this parable, he speaks about these things called minas. What's a mina? Right? I think we think a mina is money. It's kind of money. A mina is actually weight. And in the Bible, when they would talk about minas and talents and shekels, what they often are speaking of about weights. And so, for instance, if you look up there, right, a mina is about 570 grams. 60 minas equal one talent. And the reason why I put those two together is this. If you remember, there's a similar parable that Jesus tells. It's recorded off in Matthew. It's the parable of the talents. And so I think about 60 minas is one talent, right? Essentially, in modern equivalent, we would say that a mina is worth roughly 2 to 3 months' wages. And the more you start digging into, if you're into it, right, biblical weights and measures and equivalencies, right? They say a mina is worth 100 sheep. You know, that I think is an interesting fact. Useless, but interesting. But so you have this idea that this master is giving all of these servants a mina. And he's saying to them, now, put it to work until I come back. So there are two questions we have to ask ourselves. what's our mina, and what does it mean to put it to work? As you look at this parable and read it all, in the broadest sense, your mina is everything that you have right now, from what you own to your talent, to your influence, to your power. Your mina is your ability. Your mina is your wealth. And now Jesus says, put it to work. And so what this mina idea is very helpful for us to understand is, if that's my mina, right, all of the things that I have been given, and including, right, we would never not include the fact that we all have this important gospel message that God entrusts to us. There is a fact that's a part of this idea of the mina, that everything that you have then is a gift from God. And I think that's where a lot of Christians go awry when it comes to being and serving in God's kingdom. What you have is not your own. And I think in culture, and we even talk that way, right? It's my house, and it's my money, and it's my gifts, and it's my job, right? But the Bible doesn't talk that way. The Bible says that, right, in the Psalms, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. In the book of Deuteronomy, when the Israelites came into the new land, God warned them, do not think that your power of your hands and your wealth did this. It is I, the Lord your God, that did this for you. So when you start to identify, right, everything that you have is not yours. It is on loan to you from God, right, that we are not owners, we are managers. And we really start to think about it, the fact that we live in this area and we're born at this specific time and in this country, right? That very reason alone gives us the incredible area and wealth that we have right now. And so more and more you start to see it, right? God has given me something. I didn't do anything. And so now God says, put it to work. And there's really two people or two types of people in this parable, right? You have the people that hated him and then the servants to which he gave the talents to. And that's pretty, right, simple to understand. People that hated Jesus are those who do not believe in Jesus. And now Jesus says, put it to work. And then now he returns, right? We have the judgment. And so now Jesus is going to say, okay, what have you done? Look what he says. Sir, your mina has earned you 10 more. Well done, good servant. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. And then another servant came and said, sir, here's your mina. I've kept it laid away in a piece of cloth because I was afraid of you. You're a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and you reap what you did not sow. Notice something about these minas. They are given to everybody. And Jesus is not so much focused on how much as he is focused on, did you use it? Did you put it to work? And so another thing in our culture, it's hard to not focus on results only, but in God's economy, there is a word that's used over and over again in the New Testament, right? Faithfulness. Are you being faithful in what you have done and what you have been given? Right, in the end times, right, what does God say? Well done, good and faithful servant. And so it's really important for us to understand, am I faithful? Because notice what Jesus says to the one who isn't faithful. To the one that did nothing with their mina, he says, you wicked servant. I think that's kind of hard to understand. Because when you think about it, okay, at least he didn't lose it. Right? You think about the parables in the Bible. Think about the parable of the prodigal son. Right? That prodigal son wasted all of his father's inheritance on wild living. He did terrible things with it, and yet he was welcomed back with open arms. And to this person, this servant, who did nothing, but he didn't lose it, he did nothing, he says, you're wicked. And to me, what's even a little bit scarier about this parable is the fact that this wicked person is called a servant. And when the master speaks to him, he speaks to him in similar terms as the people that rejected God. At the end, right, bring them here and kill them in front of me. So you start to see something. In God's commodity, in God's economy, doing nothing is not an option. And doing nothing potentially puts you in the same place as someone that rejects the king totally. So what does doing nothing mean? Right, I don't think anybody does nothing. Today, you're going to go home and maybe watch football. Some might say you didn't do anything today, but you did something, right? You watched football, right? None of us do nothing. We're going to leave today. We're going to go and live. We're going to go to our homes. Tomorrow we're going to go to work. We don't do nothing. Everybody does something, no matter what your age, little to retired. We do stuff. But if Jesus' economy is not results-oriented and it's only faithfulness, then what does doing something mean? Do you see, and I think it's interesting to me when I read this is there are 7 verses devoted to the servant that did nothing and only 1 verse devoted to the people that rejected God. And I think for us, it's more helpful right now for us to understand because I think the temptation is for us to do nothing than it is to reject God. And when Jesus speaks about living for God, when he talks that way, think about how he talks it. He says, right, what's the first and greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. What's the second? Love your neighbor as yourself. Remember another Judgment Day parable when Jesus is speaking there and everyone's supposed to give to account of what they have done. And what does Jesus say to those who aren't going to be with him? He says, I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. So in God's economy, what you start to realize is doing nothing is often equated with just doing everything for me, not acknowledging God as the giver of all good things, living only for what's tomorrow, living only for me, caring only about myself, and not caring about the kingdom of God, not caring about the fact that I have all of these gifts and abilities, right? And you think about it too. In our life, when you're in a results-oriented world, success validates you. That's in work. I mean, that's even in the church world. A growing church is a successful church. A not growing church is a declining church, and they'll see something wrong. Right? A church that has a lot of money is a successful church. A church that struggles financially is not. A person that has a lot of wealth and influence is successful. A person that does not have a lot of wealth and influence is not. In every sphere of our life, success means validation. But in God's economy, God doesn't look at that. He cares about what are you doing? Are you being faithful? Are you acknowledging that everything you have is a gift from me? And what's even harder about this, right? Because faithfulness is so subjective. We all have different abilities and different gifts and different capacities. But yet, everybody has been given a mina. Jesus' parable would be a very scary thing if it wasn't for this verse. Verse 28, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. If you read your Bibles, verse 28 is actually separated from this parable. It's the editors of the Bible. They put those headings in to tell you what's coming next. And I don't think this was a great place to put a heading. Because if you don't connect this verse with the previous verses, you're not going to get what's going on. Because after Jesus said this, he went up to Jerusalem where he died. After Jesus said this, he went up to Jerusalem where he was crowned king and where he suffered, right, even death for us, and he conquered and destroyed death with his resurrection, right? That's the why of the mina. That changes when I read this parable, asking myself, am I a faithful servant Is Jesus going to speak those same words to me, or is he going to call me wicked, right? When I read this part of it, though, I don't think in those terms. Instead, I think, okay, how am I supposed to serve him now? Right, knowing that Jesus lived and died for me, that paid for my sin, changes my view of everything from ownership to stewardship, from being scared of the last day to being resting, like enjoy knowing that, man, someday all this is going to be ending and I'm going to be with God forever. But until that day comes, I am putting to work my mind. So the bigger question for people is, how do you live between the Sundays? How do you live knowing that on Sunday, right, I hear about Jesus, I'm surrounded by my fellow Christians, but then I walk through these doors where no one cares about a minor or even knows what it means, where the people that I'm going to be around and surrounded with are going to operate on a whole different set of rules than I operate on. And yet, that's exactly where God wants us to work. There is a really neat part in the Bible that helps us understand what Jesus is speaking about here is how to live now. But here's what I want you to do. You got to think about where God puts you at the moment. And you have to right now think about your mina and think about who you are as a person, right? If you are in high school right now, you are a student, and that's your mina and all the abilities and expectations that come from that. Same way if you're in grade school, right? If you're retired, if you're a grandparent, if you're in a job, if you're a mom, right? That's where you've been placed. And all of those responsibilities, that is your sphere of influence. And so as you wait Jesus' return, here's how the Apostle Paul talks about how we are to live, how we are to put our mind to work. He says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what's evil. Cling to what's good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You see, the Apostle Paul, he calls it a different word. He didn't say put it mind into work. He says, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. And when he frames it that way too, you start to see putting your mind into work is a difficult task. And it's not natural. What's more natural is to put the mind to work for me instead of putting my mind to work for the kingdom. What changes that mindset, though, is knowing who you're working for and knowing why you're working and knowing what's at stake for everything. Because we as Christians, we are living in view of a judgment that's going to come. When Christ says, I will return, and no one knows the day or the hour, and God is serious, right? On that judgment day, if there are those who have rejected the king, that parable told us what that means. But having our mina, this gift from God, especially, right, having that gospel, that saving message, man, that makes us live different. That changes our view. That changed all these people that when we live between the Sundays, how we're going to view them, how we're going to treat them, how we're going to make sure that as we put our mind to work in our sphere of influence as much as we are able, to make sure that not just we hear those words, but the people around us hear those words too. Well done, right? Good and faithful servant. And they're able to hear that when you put your mina to work for the kingdom. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, you can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's immluth.org. Have a great day.